to our study of Ruth. We are in chapter 1, and we just finished reading verses 6 and 7. Is that right? Did we read 7? No, 6, just 6. One of the things I would like to point out here is that Orpha and Ruth had a desire to be with their mother-in-law. They loved Naomi. Even after the husbands passed, they were with Naomi when she arose and decided to head back to Judah. They were there. They cared about their mother-in-law. I kind of alluded to it a little bit at the first session and poked fun about it. But I want you to just think about the magnitude of that. How many daughter-in-laws are truly committed to their mother-in-laws? How many mother-in-laws treat their daughter-in-laws in such a way that their daughter-in-laws would want to be committed to them? You understand? There's a lot we can look at that, but I want you to just keep in the back of your mind that these ladies loved Naomi.
I think she had made such an impression on them. You understand, the normal thing after their husbands died would have been to go back to their family.
Mm-hmm.
But she had made such an impression on him. She was evidently a remarkable woman and treated him well. And you think about this, they'd rather be with her than to go back and be with their own mom or be with their own family. And she had stayed there. I mean, they had stayed there with her and was willing to leave their own country to go with her. Now, to me, that means, I'd say Naomi was a remarkable lady, for them to have that type of love and loyalty to them. And even though we find that one goes back, she had to be persuaded to go back, which is pretty amazing.
I thought we'd pick up with verse 7.
All right, verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. They're traveling with her.
Mm-hmm.
And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me."
And in verse 9?
"The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept.
Now these two women, Orpha and Ruth, in the land here of Moab, they would have known worshiping other gods. Naomi knew God. And look at what she's speaking over these daughter-in-laws. "You go back to your parents' house. The Lord deal kindly with you." So she evidently had been speaking about the one and true living God to her daughter-in-laws. "The Lord deal kindly with you." And then she goes on and she says, "The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." And so not only was she asking the Lord to grant them to deal kindly with them, but to also give them rest. Now, to me, that's significant. Because what's significant is these two women, Orpha and Ruth, would have known about the Lord because of Naomi. I have this sign hanging in the living room that reads something like this. I just lost it. Let me think about it again. But it says something about live in such a way that those who do not know God will know God because they know you, because they've met you. And so that's what I think about here with Orpha and with Ruth. They knew God because not only did Naomi mention the Lord's name to these ladies, and we see it right here. We have scriptural proof of that in verses 8 and 9. But I believed she lived in such a way that she demonstrated the love of God to these women. Here's why I make that bold statement. It's because they wanted to hang around her. Love attracts. The love of God attracts people. You know, it's God's goodness that brings us to repentance. It's His love that brings us, right? The love of God. So, when she kissed them, after she had said, "Go back to your parents' house," they lifted up their voice and they wept. You have a picture of that. They wept. They wept because they loved this woman so much. They didn't want to leave her. But now remember, Naomi is encouraging them to go back home. Why do you think she'd do that? Do you think she was ready to get rid of them? Or do you think she felt like she was in dire straits and she wanted these two women that she loved to be cared for and provided for? Do you think maybe that could have been the motive behind that? I do too.
Looking out for their best interest.
That's right.
Now, the story continues, you understand. They said to her, "Surely we will return with you."
That's right.
"To your people." Mm-hmm. "You're saying go home." "No, we want to go with you."
They wanted to stay with her. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? They want to take this difficult journey. I just don't believe it was an easy journey. I don't think traveling was the same thing as traveling today, you understand? They wanted to go with her, stay with her, take a journey to go into an unknown territory, a place they'd never been before, a foreign land, to stay with the woman that they loved.
And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is going out against me."
So here what she's saying is she's just putting the facts right out before him. You need to think about your decision here. I'm an old woman here. Even if I were to get married today and get pregnant tonight, are you willing to wait until those sons grow up to the age and the maturity to where they could marry you? Is that realistic? Is that wise? And so she's got this situation pointed before them, and she's putting pressure on them by way of reason, if you will. She is pointing out the circumstances here. Here's what we're up against, ladies. Here's what I think you need to do. Now, we're going to find one that comes to that pressure.
You know, she's looking out for their best interest. I mean, in her heart, she's really looking out for what's best for them. Listen, I appreciate what you've done, but you need to go on with your lives. And you have my blessing. That's the essence of it. And then in verse 14 says, they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her.
How beautiful that is. They're crying for this woman that they love so much. And we're going to get to, if you look further on down in your outline, you'll see some of the things we're mentioning here. I'm going to jump around here. But when you look at the name Orpha, and you find the meaning of that name, you're going to actually see that it means the nape or the back of the head, the neck. It's a derivative of that. And so she lived up to her name, didn't she? Because Naomi ended up seeing the back of her head. She ended up turning and going back to her family's home, didn't she? But Ruth means friend. Now, Ruth was the one that clave to her mother-in-law. When you look at that word clave, the Hebrew word dalbak, it means to impinge, to cling, to adhere. And so we take the context of what's going on here, and we can see that that word means that she just clung to her mother-in-law. She wasn't letting go. To me, clinging, claving is more than a casual, I'm going to hold your hand. I think I've mentioned to you this before, but I can remember a time when my son Smith was young, a toddler, and he would latch on to me. He would clave unto me. He would wrap his arms and his legs and hold on with everything he had to me. He would clave to me. It went beyond a hugging. Everything he had, that little boy had, he'd hold on to me. And that's what I visualize here with Ruth and Naomi. She's hanging on to this woman that she loves. She's not letting circumstances get in the way, a difficult time to get in the way. She's holding on with everything that she has. She's faithful. She's steadfast. Now, we're going to see that as you keep reading through the scriptures here, there's no more mention of Orpha. We don't see her name anymore in the Bible. She turned and left, and that's the last you see of her, is the back of her head going. You understand?
You know, but the Lord spoke something to me out of this many years ago, and just actually gave me a message on it. Are you a kisser or a cleaver?
Yeah.
You evaluate that. You know, a lot of people, the kisser will start thinking about, and this is what Orpah was. Orpah loved Naomi, but by Naomi said, go back, go back, go back. Then Orpah got to thinking about herself. Yeah, well, I do want to get married. You know, I would like to have a family and this. So she got to thinking about herself. In contrast, Ruth never thought about herself. She was thinking about her mother-in-law. And so one kisses by, and the other says, no way. I am not about to leave you. I'm on stick like glue because I'm stuck on you. You get the difference. And you have to ask yourself, are you a kisser or a cleaver? How loyal are you? You think more of yourself? What do you think more of others? Something to think about.
It is something to think about. You see, even with husband-wife relationships, there are spouses that are willing to kiss and say goodbye because they want something different. And then there are those that will just leave. They'll just hold on and be willing to walk that difficult road with their spouse. Now, are you a kisser or are you a cleaver? Do you cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ when things get difficult? I love Jesus. I believe in Him. I know He's the Son of God. But, or are you holding on to Him in a difficult situation no matter what's going on around you? Are you just cleaving to Him?
And I think of how one chose the natural, one chose the spiritual. I think about Lot and Abraham. One chose the natural. And look at what he got him. He lost it all, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And yet Abraham was continually being blessed and multiplying, you understand? So this loyalty and to the Lord and getting our minds on God and not thinking about us, but thinking about Him has great rewards to it.
You take a look at number 3 in your outline here. Love does not, I'm on page 3, love does not insist on its own rights. Motivated by compassion, it moves beyond reason. How profound is that? You know, we read about those different attributes of love in 1 Corinthians in that 13th chapter. In the 5th verse, we see that love seeks not its own. Now, you take that and you tie that to Ruth. Was she seeking her own? Or was she not considering her own rights? Was she not considering the circumstances and the reason? Love won out, didn't it? That love prevailed. She wasn't after her own welfare. She was truly committed to Naomi. And we're going to see that Ruth's demonstration of love, it caused her to be loved. She was loved by Naomi. She was loved, we're going to see, by Boaz. But we're also going to see that God loved her. He loved her and honored her so much that He put her in the lineage of His Son, Jesus Christ. She absolutely reaped what she sowed, didn't she? She was unselfish. She unselfishly set her course according to another's need. She truly loved her neighbor as herself. She loved her mother-in-law and put the needs of her mother-in-law above her own. She preferred Naomi. Yeah, we can read about that second greatest commandment, if you will, in Matthew 22:39. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. We read it, many of us can quote it, but how many of us actually live it out? How many of us actually prefer someone else above our own desires? It can happen just on a daily thing. It can happen at the lunch table. No, I want the last roll. I'm going to take that. I don't care if you want it or not. I'm taking it. It can happen when you're looking for a parking spot. I know that person, this is a good one right up front. I know that car wants it. I'm going to go ahead and get it. Let me speed up here so I can get it before he gets it. Little things like that, they sound innocent, doesn't it? But really in the big picture of things, in our daily lives, could somebody say of you, that person really prefers other people above himself or herself? They demonstrate it. We see it here with Ruth. This act of love that she preferred her mother-in-law, she wanted to stay with her mother-in-law. And I don't believe her motive was, I'm going to see what I can get out of this. I believe her motive was pure, was genuine, was just based on her loyalty, her faithfulness to her mother-in-law. Now, think about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Think about, do you prefer yourself over the desires of Jesus? Or are you willing to put aside your desires to fulfill His will? Even if it means traveling to an unknown territory or a place that may be a little uncomfortable for you, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to leave a hometown, a place that you are very familiar with, and go into unknown territory if the Lord asks you? Aren't you glad that Abraham was? Aren't you glad that he was faithful to God? Because if he wasn't, where would we be? Gentiles, you understand, our blessing comes as a result of Abraham's obedience, right? He not only birthed a physical nation through his lineage, but a spiritual nation was born because of his obedience, because of the covenant that God made with him that hinged on his obedience. So there's so much that we can glean from this account of Ruth, isn't there? So Orpha and Ruth, were offered the same opportunity. They could have easily stayed, both of them, I shouldn't say easily, they could have both stayed with Naomi. Their choices were very significant to their future. You know, sometimes it's so hard for us to see the big picture in things, isn't it? We can get so tied down for just seeing the trees, we can't even see the forest. But our decisions that we make have great impact. The reason why I say that is we can get tied down in looking at the circumstances and not realizing the choices that we make have impact not only on our future, but on the future of many other people around us, and we just have no clue about it, do we? You know, your obedience to the Lord, when He asks you to do something and you obey Him out of your love for Jesus Christ, out of your faithfulness toward Him, your desire to serve Him, the heart that just longs to be with the one you love, so your obedience based on that, your obedience to Jesus' request in your life impact other people. Ruth's love for her mother-in-law and her desire to stay for her mother-in-law led to the birth of Jesus. You have no idea what your obedience to Jesus may lead to or how it may impact other people. And so that's not for us to know. Because the secret things belong to God, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. So that's not our job to have to worry about figuring that out, is it? What's our job? To be obedient and act in love toward Jesus Christ and be faithful to Him. So with that said, Orpha chose to regard herself, but Ruth placed her attention upon another. You know, Pete mentioned that about the fact that Ruth kept her attention focused on Naomi. Where should our attention be directed? Where should our focus be directed? To Jesus. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? It's easy for me to say. Now, how about doing it? How about doing it when you're in between a rock and a hard spot? How about then? How about when you've got a difficult decision to make? How about then? But here's what we learn about this. Being focused on the Lord Jesus Christ ends up in always working for our good. Always. Did it work for Ruth's good to keep her focus on Naomi? We're going to find, even as she's working in the fields gleaning, her focus was always on her mother-in-law. Even to the point where she's willing to save some of her lunch to take it home to her mother-in-law. She never acted outside of her faithfulness to her mother-in-law. To me, that just tells me, Heather, are you acting outside of your faithfulness to Jesus? Where's your attention? Just something to keep in mind, you understand. Now, we mentioned this, that both Orpha and Ruth were true to their names. And I'm just going to throw this side point in here. Names are important. Baby names are important. What you choose to speak over a person for the rest of their life is important. It's so important that God decided to change Abram's name to Abraham, father of many nations, long before he ever had a baby, you understand? What you say over somebody matters. So the next time you're around a young person, a young couple that's getting ready to have a baby, might be a good idea just to let them know. Think about that name. Think about that baby name. Think about what you're speaking over that child every day. It matters. We've talked about Orpha's name. We've told you that Ruth means friend. It was a derivative of a Hebrew word that means a female associate or an additional one. Bottom line, what we want you to remember is that Ruth means friend. Did she live up to her name? Absolutely. She was a friend to Naomi. Now, Ruth's dedication to Naomi points to Jesus' dedication to the church. You know what's an amazing thing? As I mentioned this earlier about that word faithfulness, when you look that up, and I challenge you to do that, look up that word faithfulness and read every reference and see if when the word faithfulness is used, if it's not talking about the faithfulness of God. We never have to second guess the faithfulness of God, do we? Whose faithfulness are we second guessing? Isn't that a lesson for us, right? Now, I want us to look at John, please, chapter 15 and verse 13.
This is where Jesus is doing the speaking. He says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you.
Now, did Ruth lay down her life for Naomi? She laid down her self-life in the fact that she was willing to put aside the life that she knew, the homeland that she knew, to go into a territory that was unknown, to stay with the one that she loved. You can see that, right? Now, there's no greater love than when a man lays his life down for a friend. Who's the friend here? Who's the one that laid down his life? We know that Jesus laid down his life for the one that he loved, the ones that he loved. Now, you think about the keeping the command. What is Jesus' only request of us? Hear my word. Obey my word. Love one another. Love God. If you're going to love God, you'll love me. When you love me, you'll do what I ask you to do. Really simple in the big scheme of things, isn't it? So we see this example of a self-denying love in Ruth, don't we? A love that's willing to put aside and deny desires, fleshly desires, personal desires, self-life, to prefer another. Now, as we keep going here, in verse 15.
And she said, behold, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. You return after your sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part you and me.
Those are some of my very favorite scriptures. I love them so much, I have them hanging in my bedroom to the point where it's the first thing I see every morning when I wake up, and the first thing I see when I go to sleep, the last thing I see before I go to bed and turn out the light there. Now, you think this is covenant talk here, you understand? Where you go, I will go. Now, this makes me weepy because it makes me think about my love for Jesus Christ and my heart's cry for Him. So I'm going to say this to you, and I want you to think about it. Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, where you stay, I'm going to stay. This is not just about a woman and a man. We're talking about our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, that's where I'm going to be married. That's where I'll be buried. So where you go, I go. Jesus, where your Holy Spirit leads me, that's where I'm going to go. Where you stay, where you lodge, that's where I'm going to stay. It doesn't matter if you don't have a home. I understand that birds of the air have nests and foxes have dens. It's okay. I'm willing to not have an earthly house, if that's what you say, you understand. Where you stay is where I'm going to stay. Now, that's profound. Where you go, I'll go. People make that statement, but do they really mean it? If they did, their obedience to God would prove it. Their walk talks louder than their talk talks. Ruth proved it. Now, where you lodge, I lodge. Here's what I was thinking about one night. Jesus, I know where you are. You're at the right hand of the Father. But I know that your kingdom is the kingdom of God. So I choose to abide with you. I choose to abide in the kingdom of God. And I understand that's not a physical kingdom. But that's God ruling and reigning in my heart, wherever He takes me. Y'all see, this is such a beautiful love story, isn't it? Your people will be my people. When I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, the people that I had, you know what? They changed. I had to be willing to give up the people that I knew to accept and embrace God's people, God's chosen ones, God's saints. You know, that's exactly what Ruth was going to have to do. She was going to have to leave her people and go accept a new people, and she willingly said that. There are times when you have to leave every person that you know, wife, husband, mother, father, daughter, son, mother-in-law, father-in-law, whomever that may be, to follow Jesus Christ, and you have to be willing to leave them and accept a new family of people. That's exactly what I did with Jesus Christ. So His people are my people. His members of His body are now my family. Your God will be my God. Jesus, your God, the Father, is now my Father. That's covenant talk. That's not flippant talk. I'm in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. Where He goes, I go. Where He stays, I stay. His people are my people. His God is my God. Where you die, I will die. Jesus laid down His physical body for me and died for me. You know what? I'm willing to do the exact same for Him. I'm willing to lay down my self-life to live with Him. Are you? It's a mighty big decision. I understand that we have the three, it's our warning time, and we need to stop here. I want want you to think on this. I want you to go back and I exhort you to read verses 16 and 17 of Ruth chapter 1. And I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him. Amen. Thank you for your time.
Well, I thank you that you bless us indeed. Jen, Lord, your territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Amen.